Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Today's podcast is also sponsored by Adidas. Stop wasting your workouts and start finding your more with tracking and training gear from Adidas. Fit Smart and Smart Run, they give you the stats that matter and coach you to improve every step of the way. Search Fit Smart or Smart Run at Adidas.com today.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what is going on? Welcome. It is the Monday edition of the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. It is all presented to you by our friends over there at FanDuel.com. Make sure you head on over to FanDuel today. Lots of great stuff happening there tonight. You've got some, Thursday contest, which in NFL normally I'm not a big fan of, but guess what? We got like a bunch of different contests for you on Thursday. So the Monday-Thursday game this week actually features four games on the schedule. So even yours truly may partake in that one just a little bit here today. Obviously, lots of NBA action and NHL, college hoops. So FanDuel loading you up here today. In terms of the games, we'll talk some NBA a little bit later on in the podcast. So we will get to that. But obviously, coming off a weekend at the Playboy Mansion, I feel like I'm a smoker. Like, I've got, like, the smoker radio voice going. Like, there's always the radio personalities who really sound like they've been smoking for, like, 30 or 40 years, and they've got, like, the total, like, awesome radio voice. Well, I have not smoked like a day in my life, but today I feel like I've got the smoker's voice going. I don't know what it is, but that's what a weekend at the Playboy Mansion will do to you, and usually takes me a little time to kind of, turn back around or whatnot. But regardless, it was a great weekend. Want to thank FanDuel for putting on that event. Congrats to all the winners out there. Everybody was a winner. You showed up, you get $3,000. I finished, what, 7th out of 70? I'll take it. And I honestly hated my lineup. Like, truly, it was one of those positions where you build a lineup, you love it, and then you keep looking at it, and then you come to hate it, and then you realize if I change it and it does well, I'll hate myself forever, and then if it does bad, then you'll hate yourself because you didn't change it. So it was obviously a miserable experience leading up until lock time on Saturday, but thankful I did not change it took home pretty nice payday. Congrats, though, going out to the draft cheater, Peter Christensen, of course, of Grinders Live fame, does a lot of work with us here at RG. He is your Playboy champion this year, won $100,000 over on FanDuel. Also, props going out to, I believe, the Siege on Fantasy Aces for winning their live final. I think STL Cardinals finished second in that one, so props to him. So, it was a great week, weekend altogether. Obviously, a ton of travel. You know, you leave on a Friday, come back on a Sunday, and I go from Florida to California. That wears on you. So, again, the voice, not in tip-top condition, but we're going to do the best we can here today. But all in all, just an unbelievable party. That was the first one I've gone to that FanDuel has put on. Obviously, back in the Star Street days, some people are like, who? Who are they? Well, old schoolers know who they are, and they kind of came up with the whole Playboy Mansion concept. And so I hadn't been to one since FanDuel kind of took it over, and they certainly spared no expense, and the weather was beautiful, and the games were fun to sweat. So a good weekend for sure. Also, though, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, because obviously I was traveling on Friday. I didn't get a chance to talk about what happened out there in Boston, in Massachusetts, where the Attorney General basically came out and instituting some kind of sweeping regulations of the DFS industry for that state. Now, this is something that it could potentially be a really big deal, an important deal in this industry moving forward. And I think we should be almost more thankful that it took place than being like, oh, you know, we've got, you know, more drama that we've got to put up with. Because honestly, I can say this much. The Attorney General in Massachusetts has taken a proactive position on daily fantasy and realizing, hey, let's go the regulation route instead of the prohibition route, unlike her counterpart in New York, who, you know, continues to push on his crusade against daily fantasy sports. And that, of course, will take place Wednesday, that hearing, which is going to decide so much. And by the way, I heard today, or not this today, this weekend, that this hearing for daily fantasy in New York consists of, and again, I can't 100% say this, but I feel pretty good in terms of who I heard it from that it's true, that basically FanDuel gets 20 minutes to argue their point, DraftKings gets 20 minutes to argue their point, and the Attorney General gets 20 minutes to argue their point, and that's it. 20 minutes each. That seems like not a lot considering the stakes at hand. I don't know why that is or if it's 100% true, but I have a feeling, again, from you know who I heard it from, that it is. And man, that seems not good because I think that there's a lot of arguments to be made, you know, for this industry, but you almost have to pick and choose your points when you only apparently have 20 minutes to argue it. So on the flip side, the same could be said for the Attorney General. And obviously, they make a lot of their points, you know, within the legal briefings themselves. So, you know, that's obviously on the table for the judge to look at. But in terms of the oral arguments, from what I hear, it's only like 20 minutes apiece. And boy, that does not sound like a lot. But Wednesday is going to be a big, big deal on that front. But last week, again, this news about the Attorney General and the regulations, I kind of want to go through some of them and know that, like, this is really a pretty good blueprint for a lot of people, a lot of states potentially moving forward if they feel like they want to regulate DFS. I think there's a few things that obviously the sites are going to fight to change, which they have every right to do. And that's what I think I really enjoyed about this process is that it's not like I'm ruling, you know, with like an iron fist. And what I say goes is, you know, there's going to be a process here for the sites to be able to kind of discuss, you know, different elements of the regulation that they don't think either really provide any consumer protections. And we'll go over a couple of those because that's the main reason she decided to do this. But I will say that they did their homework, which was a relief. I mean, they talked about a lot of issues that I guarantee you your average lawmaker, attorney general, or whatnot doesn't even realize exist within daily fantasy. So I think that was, from that standpoint, a really good thing. And let's kind of go over some of the things that came out. You might have seen this, you might have read about it, but the first time we've discussed it, and again, this is supposedly going to be for, you know, daily fantasy sites and players that operate, I believe, in that state of Massachusetts. Now, some of the questions are, you know, is this for just the players in Massachusetts, or do these stipulations have to be in place, you know, for sites to operate as a whole in the state? And we'll kind of talk about that a little bit. First off, operators can only accept players that are 21 years of age. You know, it's obviously going to upset some college kids who enjoy daily fantasy. But the good news is everyone will eventually turn 21. So you will have a chance to play. And, I have zero problem with this. I mean, especially when you consider like the industry itself, I think Eilers research looked at it as like, you know, less than 1% of daily fantasy players fall below that threshold anyway. It's really not a big deal whatsoever and probably, you know, looks a little bit better in the public's eye. So I'd be surprised if the sites would fight that 21-year-old age restriction. But again, that's something that I believe they could, you know, leave towards just Massachusetts and not the entire business. Operators cannot offer DFS contests based on college games. Now, considering I just won a bunch of money playing Daily Fantasy College Football this weekend, obviously I'm somebody who is not a fan of this. But it's also, I'm also realizing that, you know, Daily Fantasy Sports goes beyond what I like. And if I'm, you know, if I have to give something up for the industry to thrive and continue to be strong, I'd be more than willing to do it. But with that said, this is also something that I could see where the sites can offer it to everybody but people in Massachusetts. Now, I don't know if they'll go that route. They might just say it's not worth it for us altogether. Let's get rid of it. Or they could kind of ring fence those games for the people in Massachusetts. So this is a big decision here, and to see what happens. And also one of those things where if other states adopt a similar policy, I could see them scrapping it altogether. But if Massachusetts kind of stays on this island in terms of saying this state can't offer college sports, then I certainly believe that they could probably just fence that game off and continue it to play. But the thing about college that I've seen too is, you know, there's not a ton of players, and I'm sure there's some, but there's not a ton that are just strictly exclusive college football, college basketball players. I think there's a lot of crossover appeal from the other sports to those sports. But the fact that you don't really have the season-long element there, I think that just a lot of the people who play it are playing other sports as well. And again, there's going to be some people who fall into the minority there. But I think it would be way different just to kind of, you know, single out one of the larger sports and say that can't go. Like, you know, singling out, getting rid of golf would be way more damaging to DraftKings than I think getting rid of college sports. Maybe I'm off on that, but I honestly think the growth that we've seen in that, I think there's a lot more standalone golf DFSers than there are standalone college football or college basketball DFFers. But we'll see what happens on that one. But obviously one to keep our eye on. Employees and contractors cannot play DFS contests. Kind of goes without saying at this point in time. Protocols for security of data related to contests must be implemented and meet standards in the state and in federal law. That's pretty much based off of the, you know, the Ethan information breach that took place a month and a half ago or so. Operators must meet truth in advertising standards, with the implication that some operators are not meeting these standards. And, you know, I think that adding some clarity within the advertising is probably not a bad idea. But it's funny, too, because, you know, what's going to happen is you're going to have really small print in the bottom of the ads out there that, you know, state, you know, the average winner is blah, 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 blah. The average buy-in is blah, 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 blah. So I think it's not going to be, you know, truth in advertising. Not that I think that they're necessarily lying to people as is, but I think a lot of people look at some of the ads that they put forth and feel like they're trying to say it's easy to win $1 million. Fine, if they throw the quote-unquote odds out there of winning $1 million, or the unlikelihood, or how many people you got to compete with in, you know, tiny, tiny fine print on screen. I mean, you see it with the Viagra ads, for example. I mean, yes, there is some, you know, go see your doctor if you have an erection for eight hours or something along those lines. But for the most part, there's a lot of kind of fine print in some of those ads as well. But I don't think anybody's going to argue with, you know, more clarity and, you know, a different type of advertising campaign. So that's fine. Operators must institute problem gambling protocols, including the ability to self-exclude from the site. And looks like DraftKings already went this route, because I did notice that if you go to your My Account page, you can basically put something in place that will lock you out of the site for a set amount of time, whether it's a few days or a few months or an entire year. So I think that's something that DraftKings is working towards. I think FanDuel having something along those lines makes a lot of sense and should be fairly easy to implement, I would think. Operators must stop players that attempt to access the site via proxy servers. That's basically, you know, people trying to use VPN servers or whatnot. I don't know realistically how easy that is or is not to do. I'm not pretending to be a, you know, computer security expert, but I think that kind of could go without saying. Deposits must be limited to $1,000 in a calendar month unless a customer proves that he or she can sustain losses at a higher limit. This one's kind of interesting, and it's another one that I don't really hate, because they have something in place that, you know, can be a preventative measure to those who can't afford it. Now, yes, might be slightly annoying, but you might have a few more hoops to jump through, and maybe you won't be able to make that late deposit to chase potential overlay. But, you know, this is something that, again, I think it's a small issue that for the better part of the industry, I think is fine, because, you know, we've got potentially a lot of people who can't afford to lose large sums of money. So if it means that I've got to show a bank statement to be able to increase my limit, I'm fine with that. As long as they have the ability to people who can afford to put in more money to be able to play. And the way it's kind of set up, that appears to be the case. Operators cannot issue credit to users. I'm not real sure who is doing that at the moment. Sites must offer beginner games and keep non-beginners out of said contests. Love that aspect to it. I think most sites have already adopted that. Maybe we just see a little bit of an uptick and maybe a few more of those beginner tournaments or whatnot, but absolutely this 100% should be industry standard. Highly experienced players must be visually identified on the site. Now, this is interesting because they even kind of went as far as describing what they count as highly experienced users, and it's not necessarily a lot. I mean, I think it's 1,000 games played, a 65% winning percentage, or a cash of $1,000 or more twice. So I think that in theory, I see what they're trying to do by instituting this, but honestly, I think there's going to be so many people who fall into that category that if anything, it's just going to put more of a target on the new users, because I think there's going to be so many people who are jumping on sites who fall under those categories, especially if it's through the existence of the site itself, which I think this would be, that I think, you know, you look in your head-to-head situations, there's going to be a lot of people who don't have the blue check mark, who don't have the highly experienced tag, and suddenly you're going to have more and more people focusing on playing those type of people, and that is not a good thing. So I'm not sure the way to fix it. I think if anything, the way to fix it would be to change some of the qualifiers in terms of who falls into that category, but I don't even know if that's the solution. So I think what they're trying to do makes sense, but I think it could easily come back to backfire. And that's even like, you know, FanDuel, for example, you know, showing the amount of wins people have. I don't really see the upside in that. I guess in one side of things, you know, it at least takes an extra step to see who is the quote-unquote experienced player or not. But just having that obvious designation, again, a lot of the inexperienced players, they're not playing a lot of head-to-head games or 50-50 games. Sure, some do, but a lot just love those tournaments. And it really doesn't, you know, behoove anyone, I think, to, you know, it doesn't matter if you're experienced. If you're playing CSU Ram and the Millie Maker, who cares? Like, it's a hard tournament anyway. So I think it's more pertinent for a head-to-head and 50-50s. And I just don't know if what they're trying to accomplish is going to accomplish anything. So that's my worry on that one. I think, you know, maybe a larger, you know, the beginner games, maybe you make those a little bit larger than you do right now in terms of the number of wins people have to, you know, fall out of the beginner game stage. I think it's maybe at 100 right now, and maybe you extend that to like 500, so therefore we can get that pool of tournaments and players a little bit larger. I think that's a better solution than just tagging people quote-unquote sharks or highly experienced players. So that's kind of my feeling on that one. I just don't know if a lot comes of that. Let's see. The next one, users cannot use any type of script in order to enter contests or alter their entries. Now, obviously, here at Roto Grinders, we offer a script that does, you know, kind of both of those things. And I just think we're trying to see whether or not this is something that the sites can't allow this for any player on the site or only for said players in Massachusetts. And I think that's going to be a big deal. And obviously, I mean, I think if we took a poll of daily fantasy players on, you know, should we or should we not allow scripts, it's probably about 95-5 against them. So, you know, I still think that sites probably struggle necessarily to identify them, but they should obviously have measures in place. And that's what's talked about here in terms of if you catch people who are using them, you know, what the repercussions are going to be. But again, I don't know if this stems beyond just Massachusetts or to, you know, play or sites cannot offer that opportunity for any player on the site to do said thing. So that's something that I'm sure we'll hopefully see some clarity on moving forward. Contest entries cannot be changed after the start of the contest. And this one is kind of interesting because it basically is saying that DraftKings would need to end late swap, which is a big deal because they're very much on an island. I think them and Yahoo are the main sites right now that offer late swap. And I question whether or not this is something that is going to remain when the final kind of drafted regulation is there, because I just don't see the computer or the, consumer protection that you have in this. Now, I will say this much. I think it would have made a lot more sense to require sites to have a .csv and then have a lock, because then you get the true transparency of everything. You get everybody's lineup at one spot. You can get a downloadable file to see everything of that lineup. But just to get rid of late swap altogether, I don't necessarily think that solves the problem. And I think DraftKings is going to make a big argument against that and say, hey, you know what? This adds a lot of skill element to our game. It's something that, again, doesn't really give, doesn't protect the consumer in any way. I think it gives, obviously, maybe a bit more of an advantage to those players who utilize it, but it doesn't, in my eyes, quote-unquote, protect the consumer. And that's what the measures she's trying to put forth are. So, for that reason, I think they got a pretty good argument to her to say, hey, we don't really feel like this is something that needs to be in this, and here's the reason why. It will be very interesting, though, to see what comes of that, because that is a game changer. That's not something that you can ring fence for only people in Massachusetts. That would change the entire dynamic of the way the game is played. And, you know, I don't think it would change much in terms of like the architecture of the site or the, you know, development. I think it would be easy to fix. I mean, they've got live finals on DraftKings where they don't have late swap. So I think they could institute it tomorrow if they needed to, but I can assure you they do not, because I think that they really do like being in a different place in terms of that than FanDuel. And I think it's good for both sites to have the differences there, because I think the people who don't like it play on FanDuel. The people who do like it can go to DraftKings. It gives options. We like more options for consumers, not less. So I think that, you know, I don't even think like FanDuel would necessarily argue against that. Like, I don't think it hurts them at all to allow it, even though they don't have it. So we'll be interested to see on that one. And then the last one, operators must limit the number of entries from a single user based on a sliding scale. And that's basically kind of talking about entry limits and setting a certain number of limits based on the size of the game, which I think we can all get around. And I think, you know, on the highest level, it was, what, 3% of all entries for the larger games. That would be the entry limit. The only real effect it would have, I think, are kind of the higher dollar qualifiers that, you know, might only be 12 or 15 man, but might be a $1,000 buy-in or something along those lines, where they're basically only allowing you to single entry that. And I don't think anybody would argue that whatsoever, that if you're running a 15 man tournament or 12 man tournament, you know, somebody shouldn't be able to put in three lineups into that. That's really, you know, I don't know, not fair per se, but shouldn't really be allowed. And I think most of the entry regulations that they were looking at looked pretty fair from my perspective, because I think the key is you don't want to destroy the site's ability to run big tournaments. And, you know, if you just said everything's single entry or everything's three entry max, well then, you know, goodbye something like, you know, the $1 million tournament on FanDuel coming up, you know, next week in the NBA. And those are good for people who play it because they're fun to play, but they also drive a lot of customers into those big dollar tournaments. So, but the only way you could fund them is if you had the ability to have multi-entry. But 3% of total entries, I don't think anyone would argue, is a fine measure for me in terms of looking at the total amount of multi-entries allowed. But and again, the fact that you've got options, and maybe in some of those middle tier tournaments, the entry limits will be a bit less than they are currently. I think that's a good thing. So absolutely, I think the actual setup of that is very reasonable, rather than trying to get extreme and make everything single entry or limiting them to a point where the sites would be risking tremendous overlay to run any sort of high dollar tournament. So all in all, I think that's fair. So for the most part, I think they hit up on it in both FanDuel and DraftKings. They tip their cap to the Attorney General to, actually come out with real regulatory measures than, just trying to say, nope, we're not going to let anybody play this game in our state. And as long as I think she's open to some of the feedback, and to this point she seems to be, I have seen no reason why basically what she kind of drafted up here could not become industry, standard. And something which, a lot of the other states, it takes time. I mean, she spent months and months and months on this. It's a really good blueprint. As somebody who's plugged into DFS, I can say, they definitely did diligence. I mean, most of the people have no idea about multi-entry scripts or multi-entry tournaments or, what a fair number is on that front, or beginner games. I mean, that's all pretty deep stuff that, us playing all know about them, but your average new user has no clue about any of those things. So I thought they did a really good job, and I want to commend Attorney General Healey's approach to regulation. So good job there, and we'll keep our eye out on what happens. That, again, it's not supposed to really go in place until January. So I know some people were wondering about like college contests and whatnot. And again, they've got a comment period, and I know a lot of the big college tournaments basically run through the beginning of January anyway. So it shouldn't affect people in that state through the rest of this year. But moving forward, we certainly could see some of those changes. And, some of the stuff they should start putting in place already, and they shouldn't be too difficult to put in place. And I hope that they do conform to these. And, I think it's a great start in terms of what the future of the industry could potentially look like. All right, so there we have it. That does it for our industry news side of the podcast today. Let's go ahead and look at some NBA basketball for tonight. NFL, it was a so-so week for me. I got Russell Wilson right. I got out of a dub smash with Austin, so that's good. It's doubly good because not only do I not have to do one, then we get the king of the dub smash, Austin, who gets to do it. So that'll be Wednesday's Football Guys show. But obviously there were certainly some landmines out there in NFL football, but hopefully you had some Jameis Winston. Did I see the Sammy Knoll? Matt Smith is in the lead for the Millie Maker. Nobody has won that tournament twice, and he's got a shot, and it would be very fitting for him to win with Jameis Winston on the roster. What, 5 touchdowns for him last night or yesterday afternoon? Being the big FSU guy that he is, I'm pretty sure that he plays Jameis every single week. So it only makes sense for the former Seminole to basically help the Sammy Knoll win another $1 million. So good luck to him and his quest for that. Should be an interesting night, too, because pretty soft salaries, at least on DraftKings. So there's a lot of probably Brady and Gronks kind of lurking out there. But if you're in contention, good luck tonight in your sweats. Be sure to check out Night Sweats tonight, Dean and Ducky. That gets rolling, I believe, around 10 Eastern here tonight on Grinders Live. All right, let's get to NBA here tonight. We got a solid 7-game schedule. And again, I love these 7-game schedules, man. They are good, good stuff. But the problem I'm running into here today is that we're not really seeing a ton of value right now. Obviously, things can change. And if they do, there's a pretty good chance that some value could open up. But early on, not a whole lot of value out there, and that's a little bit concerning. And, you know, we can start – we'll go position by position today. And at the point guard spot, we've got Russell Westbrook at 11-9 tonight. He had a nice game last night. Again, 58 fantasy points. I mean, he's been at, what, 58 or more in four straight games, kind of five of six, had 57.9. So you know that you're getting a huge return. You're not getting the 5.5, 6x you might want on 11-9, but who cares at that point? It's 50 fantasy points. He's a really safe play, but I also wonder whether we see it tonight for a couple reasons. First off, this is back end of a back-to-back here today for Oklahoma City. And, you know, this matchup here, they are, in Utah. So they had some travel after last night. And more than anything, though, I'm just not seeing a lot of low-dollar guys. You know, yesterday I found, Duggan found a few. You know, a guy like Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, really nice game. Plumlee, really nice game. It was a little bit easier yesterday to dig for some value. Today, I'm not really seeing it off of the top. So that's going to make Westbrook, I think, a pretty tough play for us today. As for Rondo against Charlotte, not the best matchup. They're pretty good against point guards. But the thing about Rondo, which is really amazing here, is seven of his last eight games, he has played 40 minutes or more. That's insane for a point guard to be playing that kind of minutes, anybody to be playing that kind of minutes. And obviously a little bit of that had to do with Darren Collison being out. I think Collison is returning and has returned for Sacramento, but they've been playing well with Rondo kind of running the show, and they're letting him play all the minutes he can handle. He's at 8K, which is a really high price tag, but I think I need to know he's going to play that kind of minutes to be in play. He went 31 against Atlanta three games ago and had his worst day at 36 fantasy points, but about a 40 spot, 50 spot, had a 33, 56, 50. So I think he's in play as a pivot off of Westbrook, but I don't think there's any way you can really play both of those guys tonight without hurting the rest of your lineup. So that's my main concern there, but he's somebody I got his eye on for sure. Brandon Knight. Last night, big game against New Orleans, played 37 minutes there, scored 19, 33 fantasy points is what he finished with. I think, though, it's pretty simple. If you're going Rondo or Knight at the same price, I think I'm going Rondo. I'd rather have Kemba defense than maybe not Tony Parker defense, but Spurs defense as a whole is usually pretty, pretty good. Lower tier options there, Reggie Jackson starting to get it going just a little bit, but doesn't have the upside of those other guys. So I think, clearly it's a Rondo over, Jackson for me, even if you're saving a little bit. The one that could be interesting though is Kemba though. He's starting to get going a little bit. His scoring was a little lackluster early on, but this is a high total game, one of the highest on the board. And, he scored 20 and 18 for 36.9 fantasy points in each of the last two games. So at a $500 savings, and Rondo, he's not a bad defender, but he's a guy who likes to jump passing lanes. And, you know, there's difference between being a good statistical defender and being a good real life defender. I think he's a good statistical defender, not real life defender. So Kemba at 7,500, I could potentially get behind. Rubio at 71, you know, I think there's great upside in tournaments, but you see against Detroit, didn't do a whole lot. Only 20 fantasy points that day against Miami. First game off the injury, had 21. So there's risk there. But going against TJ McConnell, not a bad matchup here for Rubio, potentially at 7,100. I think I'd rather have him over Peyton at 6,900. But I think they're both kind of like tournament plays for me. Moving down a little bit, I cannot play Goran Dragic, just can't do it. I know the price is cheap, but I don't see a reason really to go there. Got to keep our eye on Jeremy Lin to see if he starts here today. 4,600 could provide him as one of the more value plays out there. And you've got Lin, you've got Dellavedova, who potentially could be in the starting lineup if Mo Williams does not play. You know, he played 28 minutes last game for 20 fantasy points, 39 minutes against Milwaukee for 24. So I don't mind those guys, but I think Jared Bayless, I still prefer him over those other two. I know the last two games have been not so hot there against Indiana and Cleveland. This matchup for Detroit, a much better one, I think, for Jared Bayless. So I think he'll be really under-owned because of those dog games he had, understandably. But again, we're really struggling for value early on. Eric Bledsoe, this is a tough one because this guy has kind of figured it out. I mean, it's like 40 fantasy points seem pretty standard for him. He's scoring like crazy, and he's always been a guy who can fill up, you know, multiple categories here. Went for 43 last night against New Orleans. But do we trust him here in this situation, you know, third game in four nights with San Antonio? That's a tough one. At 8,400, the salary, I'm willing to pay that. But the matchup, I think they're like first or top five, certainly, against the shooting guard position is San Antonio in the DVP. So that's going to make him, I think, a tough, tough play for me to necessarily go to. Now, Dwayne Wade is gone for over 40 each of the last two games, 48 and 43. We'll see if he can keep it going here against New York. If this guy's healthy, he can put up numbers, but the salary's starting to rise a little bit. Don't hate him. Probably like him better than Giannis, who has been a bit inconsistent with his output as well. Fournier is back playing a pile of minutes. You know, he was obviously out there for injury for a little bit, but has come back. And again, Scott Skiles loves him. He is, I think, leading the NBA or is close to it in terms of minutes played. And he's only 5,900. So he's still a great value play here today against Cleveland. Don't mind him one bit. In terms of the other cheaper guys down low, you could go certainly with Jeff L. Hefe's favorite shooting guard, and that's Danny Green. You got Manu, I think, who is going to be out for a couple more days. So Green should see, I think, 30 minutes or so in this game. He's not the worst play on the board today. Can't really get behind Kevin Martin too much. Just not enough scoring for me today. And then I'm not, you know, identifying much in terms of the cheap sheets seats at shooting guard today. Got to keep our eye on Kevin Durant. He's ruled out of Sunday's matchups. We'll see if he plays here today. He was back practicing. Again, if he'd play, I think that makes the easy fade of Russell Westbrook at that price tag. And I'd have to see how much he's going to play right off the bat. So at small forward, if you're paying up, it's going to be LeBron at 10-1. He hasn't had many 50 fantasy points. He's had a few, but he's really kind of been steady. He hasn't had a big breakout number. You know, even last game, you know, 19, 11, 8, and 2 is pretty good. But, you know, at 10-1, you really want to get 50 fantasy points. He obviously can do it against Orlando. There's no question. It's just whether he wants to or not. You're paying a pretty high premium on him. That's the big drawback there. You can go down to Kawhi Leonard, who I think I'd much rather have it, you know, $1,600 less than LeBron today. You look at his super consistent lines, 33, 35, 40, 42, 33, 38, 34, 34, 46. So, yes, LeBron gives you 60 fantasy point upside, but we haven't seen it enough this year. So, certainly in your cash games, Kawhi Leonard, I'm willing to save on that a little bit. Nick Batum at under 7K at small forward. Again, more of a tournament play for me just because the inconsistency that we've had from him. But he has had some 40 fantasy point games. I'm probably going to pass on that one more likely than not. I think I'd rather go to Gordon Hayward a little bit, who himself has been a bit inconsistent, but he's starting to come around a little bit. If you look at the last four games, he hasn't been below 27 more than once, and he's had a couple of mid-30s worked in there. 6,600 should be a decently paced game, should be up in pace a little bit against OKC. So Gordon Hayward certainly moving up my board a little bit at that middle-tier price tag. Moving down a little bit, I think Robert Covington might be your guy at 5,600. I say that. He scored 33 fantasy points last game against Miami. But more than that is he played 32 minutes, which is the most he's played all year long. And dating back to last season, he's been a guy who's a fairly solid contributor, especially on DraftKings because he shoots so many three-point shots, gives you that bonus, and he's a big dude, so he can get you, you know, 5 to 8 rebounds if he's playing, you know, big minutes. And that 33 spot against Miami is encouraging. He's had a couple days off, so I think he's going to, you know, they don't have a great team. Certainly at that kind of small forward, you know, position, he fits way better than Hollis Thompson, who's not very good in my eyes. So look for Covington to play big minutes. Not a bad $5,600 play here tonight. All right, let's move on to power forward here today. And again, not a lot of high-dollar guys for us to play. Derek Favors, very consistent option for us. You know, not a tournament play because he doesn't possess enough upside, in my opinion. But cash games, you got a pretty high floor on him. Bosch, on the other hand, there's another guy who I would rather, you know, play in some tournaments because he's been at 40 fantasy points a little bit more than we've seen from Favors. 8,100. Not a bad matchup going against the New York Knicks tonight. I think he should be fine at home. And then Kevin Love, again, in years past, was a cash game play, but more tournament for me. But over 40 in three of his past four. So, you know, you can certainly pay up for this position. Double doubles in three of his past four games as well. So, Love, just a different player this year than we saw last year playing with LeBron James. We've got to keep our eye on LaMarcus Aldridge. He is questionable for this game on Monday. If he's going to sit out, obviously a guy like West or Boris Diaw might see a few extra minutes. Tim Duncan, maybe a little bit of extra production as well, but we've got to wait on that. Porzingis from New York. What do we think of this kid? Well, 6,300. What have we been waiting for? We've been waiting for him to play 30 minutes a game. And the last two games he's played 30 minutes, he scored 54 and 43 fantasy points. I still think he's reserved for tournaments for me, even though this price tag is nice on FanDuel at 6,300. I do get a little bit nervous about, you know, a lot of the 17s, 18s, 19s, 13s we've seen on the game log. So I think that this kid is going to be the real deal. He's still pretty young, pretty raw. But he's been making some impacts, 24 and 14 against Houston last game. So in play, but more of a tournament option for me here tonight. All right, let's go down a little bit further. 4,500, you got Jeremy Grant potentially against Minnesota. 30 minutes a game, right around there, a little bit less, I guess, mid-20s, upper 20s. 4,500 is a pretty cheap salary, so not enamored with him by any stretch, but if you need value at the position. But honestly, there's too many decent players in this kind of 8K range. And even if you want to go down to, again, 6,300 for Porzingis, Tristan Thompson, another one at 5,600 who been playing big minutes as of late. So there's some upside with him, 37 last game against Atlanta. So for that reason, I don't think I'm going to kind of go too much value at power forward today. And then lastly, we got center, where it's one of those days on FanDuel where you're like, man, I need a utility spot because got so many good players at center here tonight. You got Cousins, you've got Drummond, you've got Whiteside, you got Monroe, you got Vooch, you've got Al Jefferson, you got Gobert, you got Carl Anthony Towns. Okafor has had a hell of a year. Tim Duncan, if you've got LaMarcus Aldridge out. So you're loaded up with a number of plays here. I think Drummond bounces back big. Milwaukee is not good against big men. 9,700. I think he's going to go for like 15 and 17 tonight. The question is he going to get enough blocks or other stats to go along with it? I think his floor, about 40 fantasy points tonight. But the difference is, Cousins' floor is about 40 fantasy points, but his ceiling is probably about like mid-60s here in a pretty high-paced game against Charlotte. He should be able to do just fine against Al Jefferson, who, by the way, in his own right, had one of his big Al games against Philadelphia last time out. 52 fantasy points, 7,300, nice price tag on him, but always get nervous taking any center against Boogie, not because Cousins is a great defender, just because he has the ability to get people in foul trouble, and that certainly could be the case here tonight. Tough not to look at Carl Anthony Towns, especially when you consider the damage that you just saw Carl Anthony Towns do. You look at that they're rated 29th defensively at the center position in the DVP rankings, and you got Towns at 7,200 coming off 38 and 43 each of the last two games. And this guy, it's, the thing about it is, I don't know it for a fact, but I bet you his per minute output is got to be in the top five of all players this year, because there's a lot of games where either he gets in foul trouble or plays under 30 minutes and he's still putting up some good numbers. So he is on definitely on board with Carl Anthony Towns tonight at 7,200. Greg Monroe, revenge game against Detroit. I don't know what to think of that, but if you believe in the narratives, that's a pretty big one. Going against Andre Drummond, Not my favorite matchup potentially for Monroe, but Drummond, not that he's a great defender in his own right, but I could see him getting a little bit motivated for this, but tournament play kind of only for me on that front. So Hassan Whiteside, again, another guy who's just been an absolute beast. Looks like over 30 fantasy points in 9 of his last 10 games. Has a few 50 burgers mixed in along the way, consistently in the mid-40s. So, I mean, you just kind of like can pick of the litter here at the center position. It's tough to kind of rank the best and the worst here today. Really, really tough position. For value, if you want to talk price per dollar, Towns is probably your guy, but you can make the argument for most of the guys at that position today. All right, that does it for our look at the NBA for tonight. As always, best of luck in your matchups. All right, this is the part of the show where we tell you about our friends over at FanDuel. FanDuel's got, 5 sports going right now. NFL, again, I said it in the opening, I'm going to say it again. If you don't usually play Monday, Thursday, I get it. But if you like Monday, Thursday with better slates, well, today's the day. 4 games on it. So take a look at that one. And they've already got their tournaments kind of posted for this next week. And look for live final qualifiers. The San Diego trip, I'll tell you what. After you go to one of these ones like I did for the Playboy match, just makes you that much more wanting to get to the next one because there's so much fun to kind of compete in that environment. Smaller fields with big payouts. It's a ton of fun. So be on the lookout. You got more qualifiers happening in the NFL here today. And some that I don't think they start actually Sundays, but most of those are Thursday. Some Turkey Day qualifiers for you. So again, that's going to be a tremendous tournament happening on FanDuel. You've got NBA. They got $1 million Mega Slam coming up in December. So look for some of those seat qualifiers. But the Slam tonight sitting at $150K. The Shot, the $2 version of their marquee tournament, only $250,000 payout, $20,000 to first place. And we are all good to go there. College basketball, college football, they're loading up. So FanDuel keeping you busy here this week, this short week. Check them out. Great sponsor here of the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. And with that, I am done for you here on this Monday. We thank you so much for tuning in. And if you got feedback, you know where to find me on Twitter. Dan_Bach. You spell that B-A-C-K. Pleasure again to meet all these listeners and viewers and whatnot this past weekend at the live final. Always great when people come by and shake your hand and say, thanks for what you do. I think my favorite one was the guy who said, I agree with 97% of what you say. I was like, wow, that's not bad. You know, if I'm only an idiot for like 3% of the stuff that I say on this podcast, then I will take it. Take that all day long. But it was good to put some names with some faces that I've seen in the industry. And always, if it's an event, whether I'm participating in or just, covering or whatever the case may be, come by, say hi. Always great to, talk to so many of you who download this show each and every day. Means the world to us. Please support our sponsors out there. And we'll be back again tomorrow with another edition of The Fix. Check out Grinders Live tonight. Bunch of hours of that rolling here for you today, this Monday. Until tomorrow, have yourself a great evening at DFS, and we will see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up to the minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter @RotoGrinders.